Access granted.
Welcome back, everybody, to Stop It, your number one stop for all things conspiracy. I want to thank everybody again, my woke millennials, my complacent government sheeps, and of course, my awesome supporters. And welcome back for a very special episode. This is episode 5 on the real Silent Hill, otherwise known as the town that once was or used to be. And of course, for those West Virginia locals, it's probably known as the borough of Centralia. But before we get into all this great conspiracy stuff, I just want everybody to know one thing. I love all of the support that I've been getting lately. I can't, you know, say enough to all my fans and the subscribers and all the messages that I've been getting. I want you guys to go ahead and check out the list of all the people that I'm trying to promote and support and get some kind of help to, whether it be views, subscriptions, just letters letting people know that people care about them. So thanks again for tuning in to episode 5, and let's get this Silent Hill stuff underway.
Hey, ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have
all right, everybody, we're back for another episode of some creepy conspiratorial shenanigans. And you know, before we do all that, I want to introduce my co-host. And for everybody who missed the last episode, and you guys missed Earl and his crazy buckets and all that nonsense, I have a new co-host. And the reason I have this co-host is because, you know, I put my water in the line, and I did a lot of things to try and get the show going on my own, and I just decided that the show needed somebody who knew as much or more than I do. And so, without further ado, Bobby, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? It is an honor to be here, brother. I'm glad we linked up. It is fate, I'm telling you. We're going to do big things.
It's got to be fate, brother. And you know what? Let me tell you something else. Ever since you joined this show, not only have the views been up, not only has all the positive feedback been about tenfold, but it's just got a lot. We got great chemistry, bro, and I think we're gonna be able to give the people what they want. So, without further ado, though, speaking of giving the people what they want, you know how John Doe does, and I like to give everybody a bit of breaking news, just in case you're not, you know, a government sheep and you're tuned into all these government news channels. We're gonna give you the real shit. So here we go. If you missed the news segment in our last segment, our Commander-in-Chief Donald Trump decided that it was a great idea to bomb Iran. So, what do you got for us, Bobby?
Well, as I said in the last episode, I'm not opposed to dropping bombs on people that deserve to have bombs dropped on them. But, dude, this thing is escalating quickly. I was viewing a video of the funeral today, and dude, hundreds of thousands of people were there to show support for this guy. And avenge his death was the main topic of the day. It's nighttime. I'm not exactly sure what time it is right now there, but I know from what I last saw, I believe it's going on morning, and they are still parading his body around the city. I heard his daughter give a speech. They were waving the red revenge flag, and she specifically asked for the deaths of non-Muslim children. So
wow.
I don't know how us in America are directly going to be affected by that, but the people are going to feel the wrath of this in neighboring countries for sure.
Wow, man. And when was the last time that red flag was in the air?
Dude, if you watch the big huge one was waved earlier today, but everybody's got them waved up, and you know, honoring this guy and waving this revenge flag. It's been like a 24 to 48 hour ordeal. And, you know, what else I'm seeing here is that, you know, Iraq had some decisions to make as well. It looks like the U.S. had a letter that was leaked saying that the U.S. military repositioned troops and possibly withdraw them from Iraq, because it looks like Iraq has a choice to make between the Ayatollah, because Iran was their was an ally with them, so they essentially have to choose between Iran and us. And what my gut tells me is they're not going to choose us. So, in my opinion, we need to just get the hell out of there, man. Like, they say we're fighting for our freedoms over there, but when the fuck did our freedoms get over there? Let's fix this place first.
It sounds to me like they got a whole lot of Star Wars stuff going on over
there.
Let
me see your identification. We don't need to see his identification.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get worse.
Well, that's absolutely insane, man, and I absolutely agree. Bring the troops home. Let's fucking mind our own business. All right, moving onwards after these messages, folks. John Doe out. Welcome back, everybody, to Stop It, your number one stop for all, things conspiracy. Now, getting into this episode, the real Silent Hill, the town that once was, or used to be, the borough of Centralia. You have done some extensive research on this town and the hoopla about it, but I think, you know, most people don't even know the town existed. I mean, I didn't know the town existed up until, you know, I talked to you and you told me about this, and I was a super fan of the Silent Hill video games. I was a super fan of the movie. It all tied together well. It all kind of made sense, but holy. And when you originally told me about, you know, there's a true story, my mind was blown. But then once I started to delve into it, dude, it's just outrageous, bro.
Another one of those fake things, man.
Exactly. Couldn't have said that better myself. So let's just touch on the town itself for just a second. Now, you can't have a video game based on a town and have it the essence of horror and mystery behind it without there being some kind of origin to how it was created. And so, you know, playing the video game, immediately you're thrown into this world that's it's completely paranormal. I mean, there is not one thing about the setting of the town. It rains, or should I say it snows ash, as though the sky is on fire. Not only does it rain and snow ash on top of you while you're walking through the town, but the town is completely full of this fog that's so dense you can barely see but just a foot or two in front of you, in most cases. You can't use walkie-talkies or telephones because it seems as though there's some kind of force field of radiation or something just drawing so much static to it that it's you can't hear anything but static. Your car shuts off and the radio goes haywire. There's just so many things that are just what the fuck about Silent Hill, or should I say Centralia, that it almost makes you believe that you are not in this world anymore. Am I accurate?
Yeah, dude. It's certainly creepy. I will say that the town itself, I didn't find too many witness reports of paranormal stuff actually happening there. But like you said, dude, this town just spews paranormal all over it. The smoke and the fog is all a real thing. I'll get into that when I delve more into the town. Would you want me to get into that now?
Let me just touch just a little bit more on the game and the movie for the people who really know their conspiracy stuff and they didn't get, you know, the chance back in the day to delve into the game or the movie. So, the movie comes out, and the movie, the story behind that is that this lady has a daughter who they adopted when she was very young, and she originally, the daughter was originally from the town Silent Hill, And she was, I guess, one of the very few children that got out after this fire took place in the mine. And the parents didn't know anything originally about her, where she came from. Then she started having all of these dreams, and in her dreams, she kept yelling out in her sleep, Silent Hill, Silent Hill. So her mom did research, found out about it, where she came from, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, her mom wants to take her daughter to this town to figure out why she's having these dreams. She gets there and realizes that the town is not a town at all anymore. Fast forward, there's a creepy cult in the town. It's kind of like a church state kind of thing of all the people who were left in the town after the town was evacuated in the movie. And so then you got all these demons that are walking the earth in the town. And then you've got, you know, this police officer lady who's trying to help the lady. It's just a bunch of craziness. All right. And not to mention, there's demonic monsters that look like they could destroy 100 human beings in one swing of an axe. So, like, now that's the movie. Let's talk about the video game. The video game in itself is a whole nother ball of wax, simply because the video game kind of actually has more truth to it than the actual movie as to like what took place in real life. So let's touch on that. The number one thing I think all silent I am speaking about.
Did we do that segment?
So anyways, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. My stuff is going crazy over here, and that's making me a little bit scared because we're talking about this shit. But anyways, so one of the biggest thing that the fans in the video game liked was this guy named, they called Pyramid Head. Now, Pyramid Head is definitely one of my favorite things about the video game because, you know, you get into a lot of boss fights, and usually they're all the same, but holy shit, dude, this guy just looked like, you know, there's no winning. So anyways, he kind of symbolizes a dark, unstoppable force, but he actually has a form, and he's depicted as like a muscular male, and he's in a tattered white robe, and he has this cast iron helmet on his head that's in the shape of a pyramid, and he's got all these deadly weapons. But this is, you know, in the game, many theorize as to why he looks the way he does, and the purpose of, you know, the big pyramid helmet on his head. But so a lot of people think that he's basically just an evil demon destined to kill anybody who enters Silent Hill. But a more popular theory is that his pyramid head is actually, he's actually there to help James Sutherland get to the end of his end goal in the actual video game. And you know what? I don't know if you've actually ever played the video game, but there's this book called The Book of Memories. And this Book of Memories has basically the whole history of the town, and this is before, you know, it was Centralia. This is pre-colonization, you know, and this is, and supposedly the town was actually before it became this big coal town, it was Indian land, and the Indians supposedly put supposedly, you know, the Indians, how they rolled back in the day, everything was all about the earth and the spirits, and they coexisted together in harmony for, you know, for so long, and there was nothing but good energy there. And so when these settlers came from Europe, and they came and they just devastated their land, and they ripped them away from their land, and this created a lot of really evil energy. And so, supposedly, that's why there's so much evil energy in the town of Silent Hill.
Wow. Now, that's... Stuff starting to give me goosebumps from what I researched. Because for the people, we researched two different topics here. Well, two different ways. I know the town of Centralia better. And Warren, or John Doe, knows more of the game and the movie. So we're kind of going off each other here, and I'm getting goosebumps already because stuff he's saying is kind of matching up to stuff that I was reading about the actual history of the town. So go on, bud.
So All right, so I mean, and the thing is that a lot of people are like, oh, he's got a pyramid on his head. It has something to do with, you know, the Illuminati and whatnot. But for me, and what I've researched is this guy, the actual creator, the designer, his name is Masahiro Ito, and he created this character because he says that his original idea was he was the executioner of past time. That's what Pyramid Head is. And because of this, he had to create a different evil, horror-esque look to the helmet. And so because of this, he had drawn previous sketches, and then he had just threw them all out because they weren't good enough. When he had finally landed on the Pyramid Head is when he thought it actually was evil-looking enough. Now, the town that the game actually takes place in is actually right now is known as the state of Maine in the game Silent Hill, which is weird because all of what we're talking about with the actual town doesn't take place in Maine. Now, according to what I could find, that And see, this is what confuses me, okay? Because Silent Hill 1 and Silent Hill 2, even though they're so similar, they're so different. And they all kind of follow this book, the Book of Lost Memories. And so because of that, they have to tie together. But at the same time, I don't understand how the movie and the video game tie in when in the movie, there's a little girl and that draws them to the town. But then in the video game, they're already in the town and they're looking for people. So it just seems like between the dreams that these characters are having and what I can find online, it seems like maybe whatever kind of spell the Indians had, whatever kind of spirits the Indians were contacting on that ground could have been evil, could have been good, but because the Indians were so peaceful, they were contacting peaceful people, you know, peaceful entities. And now, from what I could find, the Book of Memories says that the spirits of the Indians that were killed by the settlers basically stayed in the town and gave any people who lived in the town the ability to conjure up their innermost thoughts. So basically, the Indians could conjure up good thoughts, but when these new settlers came over and ripped the Indians from their land, they would only conjure up bad thoughts. You see what I'm saying? And that's where all these evil things were in the video game, were the evil thoughts that were left over from the people who used to be there, the settlers and shit like that. They basically are like, dude, and it's weird, the beliefs that these Indians had are so similar to the beliefs that the Egyptians had back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you killed somebody who was in royalty, then, you know, that the pharaoh, his evil ghost basically stayed behind to haunt those people in Egypt. And that's kind of like what happened here, I think. You know, or at least that's what the video game is saying.
It's definitely a lot of high strangeness involved there. And like I said, a lot of the stuff, you know, a lot of it ties into the actual history of the town that I found online too. So, yeah, I'm excited to get into that, and I think the listeners are going to see what we're talking.
And we'll get right back after these messages. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Stop It, your one-stop shop for all things conspiracy. So we're going to do some calls because I like to hear what everybody's got to say about the show, especially about the current episode. But before we do all that, I just want to say one thing. You know, again, I really appreciate all my subscribers because that's the only way that this show is honestly really going to succeed at this point in this early stage. And for everybody who does call in, again, please tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody, because Stop It not only is, you know, it's not just about conspiracies, it's about helping people that, you know, locally that need help. And when I say help, I mean, you know, subscriptions, I mean getting the word out there, sharing their videos and pictures, because everybody's got something to say, everybody's special, and everybody deserves to be heard or seen. So we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines because, as usual, it's going crazy. And we're going to go ahead and take our first caller. Hello?
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Stop It. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. I love your show. But my name is Brielle, and I am from Oceanside, California.
Very nice.
Yeah, man.
So, I don't know if you've seen the show Silent Hill, I'm sorry, the movie Silent Hill, or if you played the video games, or if you know the actual story about it.
Oh, yeah, dude, Silent Hill is one of my favorite movies.
Me
super,
too.
Super sketchy, super cult, you know, activated, I guess you could say, and it's really interesting. I love the storyline behind it, for sure.
Absolutely, and I covered that in the episode about the cult and some of like the weird creatures, like the pyramid head guy.
Oh yeah, he was cool, dude.
What's your take on the actual town? What do you think was going on with the actual town and how they kind of like covered it up and didn't tell people about the fire going on underneath?
So you know, my viewpoint on that, I really think that the people of that town was just honestly not necessarily scared, but they were worried that people would think, oh, look, this is a devil town. This town is on fire. I mean, to this day, it still is, which is pretty interesting to think, you know, how a town could be on fire for so many years and decades, you know. But I think it's probably based more upon how they're just kind of scared, you know, or either that or they just upped and left because it was scary, you know.
I never really thought about them being scared. That's an interesting concept. I guess the church might have just kept people from, you know, leaving the town, maybe, even though they were scared.
Yeah.
They kind of calmed them down or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see where it doesn't get scary, but at the same time, you know, with stuff like that and towns like that, people are very religious. So when something, you know, something doesn't seem right or something isn't out of or isn't normal for everyday people's lives, they kind of take that into, oh, you know, this isn't right, this is scary, I'm worried, you know. And it's just not a part of that person's life, so they get kind of scared and they think that, oh, this is devil, or oh, this is, you know, this is a cult, or you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, dude, I totally get it. And,
yeah,
you know, like you said, the power of religion and the power of word is strong, man. Dude, I really appreciate you calling in. Is there anybody you want to shout out? Anybody you want to try and help out?
You know what? Definitely you.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, for sure. You know, always supporting my local friends and their work is pretty awesome. And just, you know, shout out my mom, too.
Hell yeah, man.
We always got to shout out the parents. So,
absolutely.
You know, you got to have love for the moms.
Make mama proud. Thank you
Amen.
So much, Bri. And, hey, I really hope you call again. And shout out to your mom.
Yeah, man, for sure. You have a good one.
You too. Thanks.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Woo. All that local love from the callers is so refreshing. I just got to say. But, you know, that damn call-in line is buzzing, and, you know, I want to get back to the callers, so, we're gonna do that. Hello? Anybody there? No? Well, it's alright. I guess we lost our second call-in, but that's okay. That's not important. What's important is this. You guys keep an open mind, and that's about it. Thanks again. Welcome back, everybody, to Stop It, to segment 3. And, you know, we're going to go ahead and cover some history of the town. I don't want to cover too much because you know way more than I do about this topic. But I just want to put people in the shoes of some of the people that lived in this town back before it was tragically taken away from America. And I'm going to, I think the people are going to kind of understand what I mean by that. After I'm done. So, Centralia was actually incorporated as a borough in 1866. That's how much history is in this town. And it's weird that it was actually dubbed a borough because New York has 5 boroughs. So, the anthracite coal industry was the principal employer for this whole community. And the coal mining continued in Centralia until the late 60s. 1960s. And when most of the companies went out of business, the coal, you know, companies stayed employed, and employing most of the town after all the other companies went out of business. There was two main railroads that serviced the town until 1966. The borough operated, it actually had a school district of its own in the borough. It had elementary schools, it had a high school, there was two Catholic schools there. It had seven churches in this one town, okay? Five hotels, 25 saloons, and 27 saloons, and two theaters, and a bank, and a post office. There was 14 general stores that people frequented every day. And, you know, most and through most of the borough's history, the coal mining was active the entire time. And I want to go ahead and put one thing else into perspective. There was 2,000 people plus, okay, in the 1960s in this town. 2,000 people. You know, I don't know the population, but I know it's a lot bigger than 2,000 here in the town that I live in. And I don't think we have 27 bars. All right? You understand? So, like, these guys were drinking when they got off, probably. But at the same time, you know, it was like you drink through the week and then you go to church. Because they had seven churches, my man, in this one town. And for 2,000 people, yeah, that might seem like it kind of equals out. But you also got to think, everybody must have went to church in this town. You see what I'm saying?
Religion, work, and booze was like all they had.
Right. So,
let's go see a movie.
Exactly. So, now I just want to go ahead and say one more thing about this. In May of 1962, though, the borough council hired five members of the Voluntary Fire Department to, you know, empty out the landfill. And, you know, like they always do, they tried burning it, and it went horribly wrong. And I'm going to let you dig more into that if you know more than I do or more than what I've got right here. But I just want to say one more thing before I give it away to you. After all of the town was completely burned away and, you know, everybody had to evacuate, the U.S. Post Office in 2002, it revoked Centralia's fucking zip code.
Why erase it from the map because of a trash fire, dude? Now, I know people, like, the amount of people, I think, have to do with the zip code if there's not as many people there or whatnot, but it really seems like they're just trying to erase this town from history, and all due to a trash fire? That seems really odd to me. I'll get into, I can get into the fire a little bit if you like.
Let me just go ahead and give you one rumor that I found, and this rumor was was backed up by just a couple people. Supposedly, and for unknown reasons, after the fire broke out, and after they failed on every attempt to put it out, and the residents were still, I just want everybody to kind of think about this for a second. Underneath of everybody's homes, pretty much in the whole town, there was a fire going. And you would think about it for a second. If you're living in that town, or just think about the town that you're living in, a coal mine is the main thing that's employing everybody in your town. And it's on fire underneath everybody. And everybody's just going about their day, minding their own business, going to the store. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is not a little fire. The whole fucking coal mine was on fucking fire underneath the town. Okay, so here's the rumor. All right. And this is fucking crazy, bro. In 1979, locals became aware of this actual scale of the problem. Okay, now I want everybody to remember, this is in 1979. When did the fucking fire break out?
62.
How many fucking years was this thing burning before everybody knew the magnitude of this fucking fire? How many years is that? This is not...
Right? 15?
About, dude, if it's more than fucking five, what the fuck? And it's like 15 years later, and these guys are like, oh, well, this is when they found out. All right, this is what it says. In 1979, locals became aware of the scale of this fucking problem beneath their feet when a gas station owner and the mayor stuck a thermometer in a gas station tank, the main tank where that held all the gas in there under the ground, and it registered a temperature inside the tank of 172 degrees fucking Fahrenheit, my man.
Dude, that is, so many people were lucky not to have something to happen there.
Dude, I just want to say I've been the manager of a few gas stations in my day. I've not only that, I worked for a little bit as a laborer for a petroleum contracting company, and we actually fixed gas lines, sump pumps, and drop tubes, all the shit that make a gas station work, and basically used still the same designs back then as they use today. And let me tell you, my friend, let me tell you, I was scared every fucking day that I was gonna blow up. Now, had my boss tried to tell me, I want you to do the same job that I was doing now with a temperature of 172 degree tank full of gasoline. Are you fucking kidding me, bro? Bro, I probably would have fought my boss for one. All right. So I just wanted to put that into perspective for people before you take it away and just, and blow everybody's minds. So.
Tagging along with what you just said there, gas station owners were also, it took them a while to catch on to this. Like you said, it was 15 years that this was going on before they got to this to this magnitude of where they actually found out that the gas was being pumped at 172 degrees. They were losing gas because it was getting, the tanks were heating up, so the gas was actually spewing out of the release valves at the top of the tanks, and they were losing gallons among gallons among gallons of gas, and that's money right there. And in small towns like that, that they need all of that they can get.
Ah, yes they do, because America does run on gas. And we're gonna go ahead and finish up the rest of the segment right now, but we'll be right back with more mind-blowing facts, mind-blowing conspiracies as to what the fuck was actually going on in the real Silent Hill right after these messages. Thanks, Bobby.
Ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
And just like that, we're back, folks. You know, I couldn't leave you for too long. I love my supporters. I love my fans. I love everybody who loves things that are unknown. Things that are weird. Things that are paranormal. And, you know, somebody said something yesterday that kind of made me say, you really think of me like this? Like, you this is what you really think of me? And you know what they said? They tried to tell me... They tried to tell me that they didn't believe in conspiracies and this and that, and so they pretty much were trying to put me in a box, bro.
Yeah. I don't like to, I don't like to judge, but I think people that throw in that box are very narrow-minded, and they're scared to step out of their box. And I challenge people every day, step out of your box, be open-minded, be open to change.
Well, some people,
I don't think we're being told the truth.
Some people just want to be like this.
Let me see your identification.
Yes, sir.
We don't need to see his identification.
Bah.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
So, you know, when I tried to say, you know, I host a podcast about conspiracies, well, I don't believe in conspiracies and this and that, I said,
say what?
I'm not trying to say that, you know, I believe. All I'm trying to say is, convince me. So moving on, you know, we kind of got people's feet wet as far as some little weird things going on, but why don't you give people the actual history of the town, Centralia?
All right, so.
All right, buddy, go ahead. I'm sorry. Technical difficulties.
All right, so you kind of left off at the 1962 to 1979 area, and I'm going to get back to that, but you were talking about the video game a little while ago, and you were talking about how Native Americans, it mentioned Native Americans living there, and, you know, obviously this land was full of Native Americans before the European settlers got here, so obviously they were there when Europeans came there in 1749,
and they actually sold the land to him for $500, and they moved on. And now, so like you said, that they realized there was a the largest deposit of anthracite coal was found in that town, and all of Pennsylvania was huge.
What is that? What is the difference between anthracite coal and regular coal?
Anthracite coal has been super duper duper compressed, so all the impurities have been pressed out of it, and it is essentially pure coal. It's the purest coal in the world.
Wow.
In the world.
And this is right there in the town of West Virginia.
Centralia, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, I'm sorry.
Yes, they supposedly have the largest deposit of it there in the world, and it's essentially been burning or untouched for all these years. And so now, right. So we get into, mining, industry and, all booming in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Coal was a huge thing. So this town was booming. However, there's a little bit of weirdness here when, we get these people called Molly Maguires that they start coming into the town, and they are, they're wanting better wages for workers and for miners. But
what are Molly Maguires?
They start going about this.
Who are they?
Molly Maguire. So these were like union supporters. Back in these when these mines first opened up, there weren't unions, there weren't safe working environments, there weren't very good wages, and that was where all the money was coming from. And obviously, they weren't going to make money without the workers. So the workers pretty much made a gang. And the gang was called the Molly Maguires.
Okay.
And they started going crazy on the town. They actually, they were murdering people. They were hanging people. And they were just going about things the wrong way. So what struck me crazy about this is I'm reading on, and during the time of these Molly Maguires actually committing all these crimes, Father Daniel Ignatius McDermott, who was the first Roman Catholic priest to call Centralia home, supposedly cursed the land in retaliation for being assaulted by three members of the Maguires in 1869. McDermott said that there would be a day when St. Ignatius' Roman Catholic Church would be the only structure remaining in Centralia. Now, I'm not sure if that's still standing in Centralia right now, but if it is, oh my word, this is creepy.
Wow.
And many of the Molly Maguires leaders were hanged in 1877, ending the reign of the Molly Maguires. But legends say that a number of the descendants of the Molly Maguires still lived in Centralia up into the 1980s. Kind of like a Hills Have Eyes type thing, man.
Dude.
So, it kind of gets creepy. So, mining continues to boom. World War I, World War II, coal was a big thing. But essentially, after the Wall Street crash, and then after World War II, the town kind of got left behind because they didn't need their coal as much. We were moving on from coal. So the town kind of got left in the dust. Mines tried to stay open, but most of them closed. Only two remained open. They eventually closed. And to be honest with you, still to this day, there are bootleg mines there, where individuals will go down and they'll actually mine for this anthracite coal. All
right, so just real quick, I just wanna say, living where I live in Virginia, there are more churches per square mile in this fucking state, bro, in the whole statewide, even in West Virginia, I've seen, than any state that I've ever lived in, and I've lived in quite a few states. So, I just want to say, what was going on back then, when you said this guy put a curse on the town, now, this guy that you're talking about, who was this guy, and how did he, what kind of connections did he have to the church? Because to put a curse on a town, you have to be into some kind of witchcraftery, some kind of cult. This isn't a regular, I'm a Christian, right, and I believe in, the Catholic religion, and I'm putting a curse on you. No, that's not how the Catholic religion works. So there's, I'm just, way back into the 19, oh, let's just even go further than that. What do we got here? What's the
1860s
earliest?
We're looking.
In the 1860s, there was some kind of cult that was,
right, yes,
that was probably even above whoever was running this coal operation, which was the money. So this cult obviously had the money, they had the power in this town. Continue.
Yeah, so it definitely sounds occultish there. Not something you would think a Roman Catholic priest would do, but man, we could do a whole nother episode on the craziness of the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican.
All right, so, go ahead and let everybody know about what really happened with the town.
So 1962, like you said, there was a there's a couple of different theories, but the main one is that there was some firefighters that were trying to put out a fire. And they didn't extinguish it completely, and this fire ended up getting into the veins of the tunnels, which the main coal veins, and it caught this anthracite coal on fire, and still to this day it is burning. Now, at the time, the mayor said the fire could have been put out for up to 2 weeks after it caught fire for $1,000, but at that time the town didn't really have any money. So they'd get close to putting the fire out.
Hold on. 1962. This is the biggest anthracite coal mine in the state, right? Or in, you know, but how do they not have money to put out a fire?
I'm thinking that when big industry left them behind, this town was nobody was really buying their coal up. So yeah, they had this huge hoard of anthracite coal, but I don't think they could sell it anywhere.
Okay.
So it kind of left them in a little bit of a pickle. And remember, this is a kind of a small town. So I was kind of stumped on that too. I'm thinking only $1,000, but
Either
they didn't think it was that serious, or they really didn't have the money or the care to do it.
All right, so you got you know these five guys that were in charge of trying to put basically trying to get rid of all the town's waste, and they caught it on fire. They thought everything was good, but then apparently, you know, every attempt to try and put it out failed, and this fire kept getting bigger and bigger. Supposedly it was in an abandoned strip mine pit, and it was right next to this place called Oddfellow Cemetery. And you know, all the firefighters they'd always done this in the past, and this time they fucked it up. And so, as you said, you know, they're trying to put it out and they couldn't do it. What happened next?
The final straw was a 12-year-old boy. He was walking into his backyard, saw that it was smoking and smoldering. The ground was blue from methane, and it was red from the heat.
Wow.
So the 12-year-old boy ran away to go get somebody, to go tell him that his yard was on fire. On the way back, the boy goes to show him, and he falls in a damn sinkhole. Thankfully, he puts his arms out, grabs onto some tree roots, and he doesn't fall all the way down. Now, witnesses say that this thing's about 300 foot deep.
This fucking pit
very bottom,
in his backyard, yes, that fucking just opened, yes, up?
Right, right. And this pit at the bottom of it, it looks like hell, dude. It's on fire.
What?
So after this, the government could no longer ignore the situation at hand, so they decided to try and evacuate the town. However, they didn't want to force anybody out.
I have to stop you there. All right. Because now you're saying this is the final straw. And as we said before, you know, we're kind of jumping around a little bit, because when the fire started, it was in 1962. Okay.
Right.
And now we're jumping ahead about 15 years. And after the whole gas tank with the mayor and the gas station owner. And so this is now, we're now at, towards the end of when people were still living there. And, you know, from the things that I've read, people were already starting to report. There were several reports in the town of, you know, health effects that were declining rapidly. Supposedly, it was due to byproducts of the fire beneath the ground, and it was just carbon monoxide levels, monoxide levels, and a lack of healthy oxygen levels in the area. And so, this didn't just happen. You know, I just want people to remember, this didn't just, you know, 1962 and then boom, it opened up. No, this fucking opened up in this little boy's backyard because this was going on in the town. And whether it was the cult or the mayor or both or the company, they didn't want, somebody or something was fucking heavily invested into this town that was burning to the ground. And instead of fucking doing the right thing and telling everybody, get out, we'll find a way to link up in another town, we'll rebuild in another town. No. Somebody was brainwashing these fucking people into staying into this town, even though Hell's Gates was opening up beneath their fucking feet. So we'll get right back. What? What's that?
No, go for it. We'll pick it up after the break.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we'll get right back into everything you were saying, but you're right, we are running out of time here in the segment. So I will take a break, and dude, thank you so much for doing this, and I hope you guys are loving this shit. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. Gondo out. Welcome back, everybody, to Stop It. The fire is burning below. The cult is in control. The money's there. Supposedly it's not there, and you know they should have been gone, but they decided to stay. And Bobby, you know, with all the health problems going on and this pit opening up below this little boy's backyard, what happens next?
All right, so it looks like the government starts to people really aren't wanting to leave. The residents are offering people double for their lots and their homes. Which really aren't very great homes to begin with. Witnesses say that the homes people were relocated to were much more nicer than the homes that they were in Centralia. But eventually, as the government always does, they lied to the people of Centralia when they said they would never force anyone out. And in 1992, they claimed the land eminent domain. What that means is basically if you're in this area of eminent domain, you're on your motherfucking own.
Yep.
We are not going to help you, but the government does own everything. So essentially they took everything from these people. All they own is the clothes on their back. The government's just still allowing them to pretty much squat in these houses.
Sorry to interrupt again.
No, you're good.
This is almost like a history repeats itself. Back in the 18th century, leading towards the 19th century, the Europeans come in and they rip the natives out of their land, and all this bad energy stays there. And then you fast forward a bunch of time, and you know we're in the 1960s, and again people are being, you know, being hurt by the coal mine underground, which is built by man, which is a bad thing. You know, you're hurting land. You're hurting the land and you're hurting the people by doing this. And then the fire starts. It's kind of like, you know, manifest destiny. You fucked yourself by fucking around with the earth. And then again, you know, you're ripping people from their land. So again, bad energy is in this town. Continue, buddy.
All right. So we go into 1992. The government claimed it was eminent domain. And then most of the people leave, except for 11. And now, as of 1992, there were 11 people there.
Supposedly.
Yes, census records. And then currently now it says there are about 5 people there. And what I want to touch on now is when the government did go into the town and they started to demolish it, which – I mean, it seems to me like if the town's already going to burn and be destroyed by itself, why invest more money to just do what nature's going to do eventually?
Right. Why are they trying to erase it off the map quicker? Like, why are they trying? What are they trying to cover up?
This is what gets kind of weird to me. So the government comes into town. They demo all the houses. They get about a block of abandoned houses at a time. They demo all the houses, take the scrap to a specific landfill that I cannot figure out what landfill that is. And then they would backfill these lots to make it look like no homes were there at all. Dude, they even knocked down the street curbs. Like, why? They literally want to take this place off the map for what? For a trash fire? I mean, to me, it sounds like cool history. Somebody could profit off that, probably.
But they did profit off of that, and they profit off it because all of what we just covered right now correlates with how the town burned down and it's on fire. So that's why you got that in the movie, in the video game. You've got the ash snow falling from the sky because it's basically like that. If it's gonna snow ash anywhere, my friend, it's gonna be hell. And that's right. Basically what Silent Hill is. And go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I also want to touch on the mineral rights. So which the mineral rights that directly relates to this huge deposit of anthracite coal, which is again the purest coal in the world, which is still burning underground there. So there's still predicting that there's hundreds of thousands of millions, if not billions of dollars of anthracite coal still under this ground. Now, what's fishy is when the government claimed eminent domain in 1992, guess who got the right to all that anthracite coal, my man?
Hold on a second. Who?
The United States government.
The United States government got all of it?
Yes. So now it's there.
Was there anything, like, you know, the original owner of the coal mine, like, he wasn't pissed the fuck off? Like, there wasn't, you didn't find anything on that?
It looks like all the coal mines actually, that they shut down before that. So I'm trying to find when the last coal mine was up and running. But as of the 90s, I believe there were only bootleg coal mines there. So, and little private mines. And once the... Once it was claimed eminent domain in 1992, that there was no option for business owners to even hold any argument because the government was going to win regardless. So it pretty much just kicked everybody out of the area and gave it all to the government.
That's crazy.
And now it just really gets me into like what this anthracite coal could be used for these days and if it's being used or hoarded for something, man, but it's just weird.
All right, so there's got to be more to the story. What else did you find on some creepy shit in this town?
All right, so what creeps me out the most, and this touches on David Pilates and the missing 411 cases, but if these mining towns have huge cave systems, I'm sure they have cave systems that run into the Appalachians, which run into Kentucky. These are some of the largest cave structures in the world that is like in this Appalachian type area here. And if you pull up a map of the United States cave systems and you pull up a map of United States missing people, they directly correlate and it'll give you goosebumps when you look at them. And it really makes me dive into a lot of other stuff that stirs a lot of high strangeness at me that just tells me this isn't ending right here. There's some supernatural, you know, spiritual element or alternative energy scheme type deal to power something that we don't maybe know about with this anthracite coal. There's not, like I said in the beginning, there's not many witnesses and reports of a bunch of paranormal stuff happening, but man, it just spews it.
So here's one of my theories, and this is just a theory, but I think there is something paranormal that has to do with that coal there being so pure. I think it might have to do with, you know, our technology. Maybe the government needed, maybe they found something in the coal that is not from here. You know, maybe it's like a deposit from a different fucking world or a different planet. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, there's definitely been reports of people seeing children or children-sized people that are deformed with glowing eyes, and supposedly it's because of some kind of radiation or some kind of sickness that they got from what was going on. Maybe it was the temperatures and the coal when it got so hot. Did it? I don't know. All I know is it caused some kind of deformities to the survivors there. But again, that's not going to get people to leave if the cult is saying, look, you know, we don't leave. This is our, you know, we don't leave. This is our home. We don't leave no matter what. And so if they're already brainwashed enough to live in a place that's like hell, I don't see them leaving if their eyes start glowing. So go on, buddy.
Cults are powerful people, man. If you look at, just look back with John Jones and him moving that, him moving all them churchgoers down to Guyana and having them drink his Kool-Aid and having like a 900-person mass suicide because they were following this guy in a cult. So, yeah, dude, cults can have serious influences on people.
Again, and, dude, Star Wars.
Let me see your identification. We don't need to see his identification. These aren't the droids we're looking for.
So, yeah, I agree, dude.
It's a creepy place, man. There's a highway, Highway 61, that runs through there. It's just completely collapsed. A lot of cool graffiti on this. It's been a hot spot for paranormal. I mean, there's a lot of paranormal stuff on Centralia on YouTube, but it's kind of like just to get it's clickbait. It's basically clickbait. You don't really see anything. You don't really get anything. It's just people going through the town because it is a creepy ass place.
I cannot agree more, my friend, and we're going to get back to our final segment just here in a second.
Eight, ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And we're back. You know, I couldn't leave you for long, folks. John Doe does love his supporters. And in light of the situation, you know, this cultish, conspiracy-esque garbage going on in this town, I do want to say that if you could reach out to my brother Jeff Daughtry, again, huge advocate for the homeless population, trying to do big things in the world, I would really appreciate that. If you can go and check my buddy ANT out, he's doing big thing, Ant's Lifestyle. If you can check out his new music coming out, that would be great. Again, my brother Pomac, he's coming on in the near future. And if you go ahead and check his music out, that'd be great too. These are local artists coming out of Roanoke. And you know what they say, people helping people, it's powerful stuff, folks. So help everybody you possibly can. So jumping back into this segment on Silent Hill, what I think personally, you know, and I touched on it a little bit, is the power of religion or the power of belief, the power of the word, folks, is I can't explain to you the power that words actually have. You know, you can really change somebody's life with just a few words of kindness. Imagine what you can do with a book full of words. You know, and with that being said, I think that has a lot to do with why so many people died in that town. I think that has to do with why the government's trying to cover it up. And if you think about it like this, folks, think about your town. Imagine you're in this town. Imagine your town is their town, okay? Your whole town, everybody in your town is completely devoted to this cultish-like church. And you got 7 churches and 2 Catholic churches, and they're all completely corrupted by this entity in the town that is the power, that is the coal mining industry, that is the government. I have a feeling that what happened was that imagine that your town is being ran like this, and the government knows nothing about it. The government knows nothing about the corruption in the town. The government knows nothing about this cult that's running the town. And so when this fire is going on, why wasn't the government contacted? Well, folks, I can tell you why. Because the cult didn't want the government to know. Was it because if the government knew that the coal mine was on fire, they'd no longer want to buy the coal? Was it because they didn't want the government to know? Because the government already had a few contracts that were about to be signed and this would fuck everything up? Was it because the cult owned the coal mine and so maybe the leaders of the cult were actually the coal mine owners, and so maybe the mayor was also in the cult and so they were all tied together, and so that's why for 15 years nobody in the government got involved to help put this fire out? I mean, you can't tell me that being, what was this? What was this? They didn't have laws, you know? Nobody from the outside of this town ever got involved in any of the court cases. State troopers from other places didn't come in. There was never any DEA. There was never any FBI. There was never any CIA. None of these outside entities ever came into this town and wanted to know why the whole town was on fire underneath. I don't believe it. And for the government not to get involved for 15 years, I could completely understand why they'd want to cover this up. I completely understand. And the reason is why. Did the government not get, there's no way, you know? There's not a single place on the face of America that to this day and age, you can have something like that happen and it's not global news, it's not everywhere, you don't got the military or the reserves coming in to help put out the fire. The government was in on this to begin with. Or somebody in the town who had a lot of money was telling the government, nah, we're good. Nah, you guys ain't got to come here and check on things. We're good. I swear, we're good.
It just really goes to show you the power of the power of religion or the power of people. And these small, you know, these small towns were very tight-knit communities. So I'm sure they were very wary of outsiders coming in, especially once the town started to catch fire. It became a huge, especially later in the 90s, it became a huge tourist population. And basically they destroyed what was left of the town with graffiti and video cameras and movies. And these people did not want it. And still to this day, people are warned of going there. And the people that may reside in that area, they truly do not want you there. So if you want to check this place out, you are warned. People do not want you there.
Well, you can actually see that in the movie. The lady whose daughter was from the town Silent Hill, and the woman who brought her daughter there, the mother, was actually sacrificed in the movie inside the church by the cult to the gods that they believed in. And I believe it was because, you know, they felt that they stayed behind when everybody else left, and the government, whoever, deemed that everybody would die, and because they didn't, they felt like they were left untouched by the gods. The gods wanted them to live because they decided to stay. And so because of that, they sacrifice any outsiders that come to Silent Hill. And I believe that the triangle, the pyramid head, I'm sorry, the pyramid head guy, I believe him from the game, I believe that's who they were sacrificing, you know, everybody too, is this executioner.
It's definitely creepy.
It is, man.
It's definitely creepy.
With just a couple minutes left, I want to kind of leave some food for thought for people's minds. You know, when you think about the religion and you think about the cult and how the cult differs from the religions that we have today, you got to think, the people who were in charge, they were definitely smart enough to leave. The people who were in charge of this cult, the people who were in charge of the coal mines, the rich people who actually had the money and didn't want to invest any of it in their, because they could have, people could have invested personal funds into trying to put this fire out. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But they were greedy, sure. Greedy, and they probably wanted somebody else to pay for it. But here's the food for thought: if these people are still out there, if those people who were in charge then got out of town, which, you know, they all the evil leaders always get out first, you know, they leave their minions behind. Where are they now? Are they part of this new world order cult that's known today as the what's the one with Tom Cruise? The damn God, I'm blanking out on this right now because I'm so just balls deep into this Silent Hill.
I wish I could help you.
You know what it is, man. It's the damn... Fuck, I'm fucking blanking out right now. I need to smoke again. Anyways, there's a lot of cults out there, and it's really weird how they go hand in hand with the government, and how the government even feels fit to give them tax breaks.
And then remember, the largest deposit of the purest coal in the world is still down there. And if there's an energy source down there, it's not going to just sit. It's right. Going to be used for something, or it's going to be – it's in a plan to be used somehow, I'm sure, because people profit off anything these days. Look at Australia. The whole issue is they're profiting off water. If people want to profit off water, ain't no way they gonna leave the purest coal in the world untouched.
Yeah, but the government probably went ahead and moved in as soon as possible on that, and I'm sure they've got some kind of base nearby working on something. Just for the people, you have access? Can you go ahead and just look that up? Tom Cruise's religion, it's the little cult he's in because it's driving.
Scientology,
my friend. Yes, it's literally.
I thought it was a movie you're talking about.
If you see how much money these motherfuckers got, dude, they're building synagogues. Almost as big as Disneyland, my friend. Like they've got, you know what I'm saying? I mean, literally, it went from being a religion to if you have bad credit, where you can't get in. Like, so, yeah, I'm being sick. That's not even a joke. You know,
bro,
so,
that's another episode right there. We can dig into Scientology. That's some weird shit.
So, I mean, I just want, you know, food for thought. I want you guys to think about that. And, you know, it's really been a pleasure, my friend. I think we've given people...
Always, my man.
I think we've given people a lot to think about. And, you know, you can lie to the masses, but you can't lie to us. And, you know, until next time, folks, keep an open mind. Thanks a lot, Bobby. Thanks a lot, listeners.
Not a problem, my man. Have a good one, guys.
You too, brother. John Doe out.